Like, no other job in the world could you get away with that shit, and people like you for being brutally and frankly honest.
I have to say something. Welcome to Highway Diary, episode, I think, 146, with my new friend. We're catching up.
Future enemy.
Future enemy. Maybe I'll do an expose on this podcast later. Joseph Larkin, I'm giving him time, and the sound of that, there's a air filtration system here. It bubbles a lot. So that's what's happening.
It's tobacco.
There's a little background noise.
Smoke it's a tobacco. And thank you. God bless you. As I said when I was walking in here, I was starting to feel again. I hadn't smoked in like 4 days. 4 days, that's all it takes. And then it's like, dude, I could have cried in the shower today. I'm not kidding. I was getting all choked up.
I know the feeling. You're like, why am I angry? Why am I
No, not angry, me? Sad. Well, yeah. my cat is dying. So, alternative comedy, here I am. I'm going to talk about my cat for a minute.
Wear some Argyle. Let's get into this.
I was, like, legit sad. But, yeah, now I don't care at all about that cat or anything else.
Okay, so we know a lot of the same people. We've done comedy in Los Angeles and New Orleans. There's, like, a big Venn diagram on Facebook of our mutual friends and stuff. We run in similar circles.
Femme diagram.
We have very similar experiences. You actually contacted me around the time, like, I dropped some podcasts.
Yes.
Interest you. So, go.
Well, yeah, I know you've done 146 of these episodes, but I've only listened to one. But, boy, I love the fuck out of it. I listened to it actually when I was here in August. Okay. Sorry, we were talking earlier about how my drugs have destroyed my memory.
You're time traveling.
Yeah. Because that's what I listened to that podcast when I was driving home.
What podcast? What are you talking about?
Your podcast. Maybe it didn't drop in August. Whenever it did. Anyway.
Sure.
Your podcast. Yeah, mm-hmm. This podcast. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about getting banned. Getting banned from a local open mic, which I also have experience.
You got banned from a local open
mic? I got banned from Carrollton Station the second time I performed there.
Oh, okay. Wow. How'd you do that?
I'm a bad boy, that's how.
Oh, yeah, real bad boy.
Dude, let me tell you, those fuckers, they spread this story far and wide, so I guess I'll tell it to you.
What happened?
Well, okay, the first time, you and I were talking about this earlier, so let's get into this too. The first time I went there, every comic was a colossal douchebag to me.
Huh?
Yes. So, I mean, they didn't know me from Adam, but they immediately wanted me to go the fuck away. No one would talk to me. No one was nice to me. And I wanted to say this real quick before I forget, because we're stoned. I think that the reason comedians do this, especially on the open mic level, is because they're super insecure and they're afraid of any competition. Not even bad. They don't even know the competition. So they're like, any comic that's coming up at this open mic is my competition, and they need to get the fuck out of here. If you're the insecure type. Me, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to smash, and I don't care. I actually want everyone around me to fail. I don't care. Or be awesome. Be awesome, because then I have to be even more awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the smasher. So that's cool, actually. I want a little fucking heat on my breath. Or heat on my back, excuse me. I want your breath on my back, is what I'm saying.
Is that a proposal for butt sex?
Corrected me that.
No.
Damn, I am stunned.
This is taking a turn.
But they will, they think you're competition, but they also think that you're probably going to quit anyway, so why be friends with you?
So
and
what
I kind of understand that
what,
part.
What happened to you? How did you
get there? Okay, so.
What'd you do?
I rolled up in there, and, I go to sign up. I said, like, I talk to the dude who runs it. His name is Scotland. And I say, hey, you know, is this where you sign up? He goes, yeah. And I write my name down. And he's like, have you ever been here before? I was like, no, I've never done comedy before. He goes, we got a first timer. He just announces it to the rest of the room. And I say something like, yeah, not just in comedy. And then, like, dead silence. And then Scotland never talked to me again. And then, so then they have. This is a hilarious thing that they do in New Orleans that I've never seen in any other open mic scene that I've been to. And I've been to a bunch of different states and shit. But they always have, like, a little meeting, like a group meeting before the open mic starts. You know, to explain the particulars of the open mic. Like, I sign my name up and then I talk into a microphone. What's the meaning for? What the fuck do you need to talk to me for? And so they can, like, you know, just be pompous. Be like, hey, I'm in charge, and just so you know, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, they ignore the fuck out of me out there. I'm talking, now this is the whole scene. This is all the comedians. No one talks to me. So, open mic starts going up. And I should have known these fuckers were douchebags before I even got on stage. Because this kid goes up. Dude, this kid has his friend videotaping him, and he clearly just wants to try comedy to say he did it. So he's doing Louis C.K.'s jokes. Okay? So what? It's fucking open mic. Who cares? They fucking start screaming at him like, Louis C.K., Louis C.K., fuck you, get off the fucking stage, blah, blah, blah. Which is just, like, pathetic to me. Like, it's an open mic. Anyone can do what they fucking want. It's open. Okay? Have a book show if you don't want people doing Louis C.K.'s material. P.S. Move to L.A. where everyone does this material anyway. They just pretend like they're doing it themselves. At least these guys had the, like, fucking gumption to do it word for word. Instead of just dressing and acting like them. Okay, so.
So are you saying that you just don't like how they handled it? You could have got off stage and been like, yo, you know, do your own material.
That shit is... No, he shouldn't have said anything. That shit is bad for not just those comics, but it's bad for the fucking show. You're screaming at a performer. Like, if I was an audience member, I was like, this is fucking gross. This is, like, terrifying. These people are not cool. They're not being nice. So anyway, I go up. And they tell me I'm only supposed to do 3 minutes. Now, this is my first time, so I was happy to do just 3 minutes. I go up and just fucking eat shit for 6 minutes. They never like me. So I ended my first set by saying, fuck this shit. And I just walked off without getting a light. So that's another thing. Like, right from the get-go, they're fucking with you. It's bad for the show, too. Mm-hmm. You just don't want some new guy to hang out.
So what you're saying is you knew that it was 3 minutes, you were prepared for 3 minutes, and they saw that you didn't have enough, and you think that they just let you hang.
Well, I mean, I had like 9 minutes, because I didn't know how long open mics were.
Right, right.
But I was also bombing for 6 minutes. Like,
right.
I've been doing this almost 7 years. If I were bombing for 6 minutes, it would be uncomfortable now. Imagine it's the first time you've ever talked into a fucking microphone.
Right.
To do this to a fucking stranger, I think is unacceptable. But what the fuck ever. So, by the way, all these pussies were bullied in high school, and they're fucking nerds. All the hipsters in LA are nerds. They got bullied in high school, and instead of doing what I did, which is not become a fucking bully, because I hate it, because I got bullied, they just become the thing that they fucking despised. 100%. That's just life. Dude, life is high school forever.
To, like, repair the fucking high school
absolutely.
Bully situation, they're just, I'm going to be that so that I feel strong.
Well, they don't think that they're that.
I get the power.
They don't think they're a bully, but these social justice warriors, social injustice warriors, I think, they're all fucking bullies.
Yeah.
But that's beside the point. So, I was not pleased. I was not pleased with how I was treated. So, like, I don't know, a couple months later, I went back to the open mic with the intention of ruining the show. Like, now that I realize that, like, I was doing it deliberately, but they just ruin their show all the time anyway. Right? I mean, what the fuck?
So you wanted to revenge bomb on them or
something? I did.
And then how'd that go for you?
Oh, it was awesome. It's one of the best, it might be the best I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I go up there and I say, you know, last time I was here, I'm using this as a microphone, the lighter. It's like when I practice with the hairbrush. I practice
with
the
podcast. Let me turn that air filter on real quick again.
Yeah, sick. So I go up there and I say, last time I was here, I bombed, and that's not your fault, that's my fault, I take responsibility for that. But I think you should also take responsibility for it, because you guys are dumb. And what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to dumb it down and do a set for you. And then I just said, get her done, over and over and over. And it was pretty fucking awesome, I'm not going to lie. Like, I remember just saying it over and over, and this guy goes, get the hook. And then I go, no, get her done. I just kept doing it. And I remember looking over at the host, this guy, this guy's name is Spackle McCrackle. I look over at Spackle, and he's looking at the timer, and he goes, he's done 3 minutes of this. I guess I just done 3 minutes to get her done. And then he hits me with the flashlight. It took him 3 minutes to light me, by the way.
Well, if he's giving you four, that's the right time.
Oh, yeah. He hits me with the flashlight, and then he just turns it on and just puts it in my face. And then, like, I didn't want to get, like, forcibly removed from the stage before I got to the punchline of this magnificent bit. So I go, get her done, get her done, get her done. And then I drop the mic, and I walk out. All of this is on tape, by the way. You can listen to it on my first album. Ah. I have an album, kind of.
What's your album called?
The Very Special World of Joseph P. Larkin.
And where can people get that?
Oh, you can just get it for me. It's for free. I made all these CDs not knowing. See, okay, I should tell you that, like, I wasn't going to do this professionally. I only wanted to do enough to fill a CD and then put the CD out, like, I guess maybe like a Neil Hamburger type thing, like, where it was clearly bad on purpose. Though Neil Hamburger's not bad now. He's actually kind of a good comic. Wonders never cease. But anyway, so I drop the mic. Spackle comes up, and he's just like outraged. He's incensed. He's like, ooh, what a class act! You dropped the microphone, called everyone an idiot. But anyways, I was already peacing out. And as I was walking out, this dude comes up to me. And he's like, thanks for ruining my birthday.
He's wearing a hat. He's got sparklers in his hands. Like, thanks for ruining my birthday.
Hey, maybe if it's your birthday, you don't go watch an open mic, you loser. You ruined your birthday.
Yeah, I thought it would be a good birthday.
So this story has become, I guess, legendary in the comedy scene. Because, like, 1 year I came out to New Orleans, and I went to Red Bean's show. And, you know, he shakes my hand and goes, like, hey, you're Joseph Larkin? I was like, yeah. He's like, if you break any of my shit, I'll fuck you up. Now have a great time on stage. That dude's awesome.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
He'd be like, if you drop the mic, you better make sure that shit lands safe.
But they told people I broke that microphone. That shit followed me to L.A. The first time I performed, I guess maybe the only time I performed in front of the manager of the improv, the host of the open mic, goes, give it for Joseph P. Larkin. Hope he doesn't break anything. Dude, I never broke anything, you fucking douchebags.
You didn't
except parts.
Did you check on that mic after you dropped it?
Dude, Spackle used it. Spackle.
Ah.
But anyway, here's how I knew I got banned. I went back to the open mic. By the way, it's not like I don't understand why people hate me, okay? I get it. You're right. They're right to hate me, but I hate them too, so it's fine.
Is it beard envy? What's really going on?
Possibly.
Why do we get in so much trouble?
Dude, because we look and act like men. These little beta male pussies. Like, that's, they can only fight via the Facebook. I can't. Like, they've never, no one has ever talked shit to my face in LA. They just do it all via Facebook. Right. They're just cowards. Okay, so I go back to the, speaking of cowards, I go back to the open mic, and I'm there with a girl. This is, Don't ever have hot girls with you, okay? That's another thing. They can't get girls. So if you even roll in with an ugly girl, they're like, who's this dude with a girl?
Right.
I'm so serious about this. Don't ever bring a girl to an open mic. Especially if you want to fuck her. She will not want to fuck you afterwards. But anyway, I roll
in. Because it's like, it's kind of like comedy purgatory. Like, if it's a book show and you got a 10 minutes.
Even that, I'm reluctant to invite people I like.
Yeah, just leave them out of it.
Yeah. Let him alone.
If you go to, you're a tax guy. Do people fucking, do the broad come by watching you fucking stamp taxes? No, why? Why would she? Why? Stay home.
Stay home where it's safe. From bombs.
Go on.
But anyway, so I go up to sign up, and Scotland comes up, and he's like, hey man, you can't sign up. I was like, what's that? He goes, hey, you can't, the management says you drop a microphone, you can't sign up. I was like, nah. Management doesn't even know I dropped the microphone. You want me to leave because you're a pussy. To just say, I'm Scotland, I'm a pussy, and you can go now. And I would have been like, okay, this mic sucks anyway. And the mic does suck. It's not like it's a fucking, it's whatever. There's more of the story.
I don't want, look, you but, know, so there's a fine line where you can become the bullies, you know. So it's like, look.
Well, I'm pretty sure that me and I've tried to repatch. I've tried to patch things up with not Spackle, Scott. I tried to spackle things up with Scotland, but he was not receptive. There's more story, yeah. So anyway, so I leave that night, but I do come back and I do sneak up on stage at one point, And then later that night, like, him and this dude, Dane Fochet, which I don't know if he does comedy anymore. And Scotland, I don't think, does comedy here either. I think he moved.
Dane does comedy here. I see him around.
Does he? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Good for him. So, because I had heard he quit. And he actually was probably the most talented of the people that I ran with initially when I moved here. Not to say you don't suck, Dane. You suck my dick. But you are the moderately talented.
I like Dane Fochet. I got nothing bad to say about him.
Yeah, he's all right. Whatever. But him and Scotland gave me a long comedy lecture about... I should say that I also was derisively called Andy Kaufman when I was doing comedy here. Mm. Andy Kaufman. And so they were saying, like, yeah, man, Andy Kaufman's already happened. Comedy's not art. They said comedy is fart and dick jokes. And I was like, well, I don't feel that way. But whatever. That's fine for them. So years go by now, and, like, I come back and do, like, a little show for my family.
Prodigal son.
A different show.
Okay.
But similar theme. I come back, and my buddy says, hey, we should get Scotland to host the show, and then, like, you know, we'll mend fences and whatever. I was like, that sounds good. And Scotland hosts the show and eats fucking shit the whole time. He announces my name and just leaves. He doesn't watch any of my set. He just goes home. He's so ashamed. And I should say that in the middle of the show, he came back to me. He was like, hey, how you like it? Eh? I thought you would probably like it. He's trying to pretend that he was bombing on purpose. I was like, well, I don't like this. I brought my family out here. It drove 45 minutes to sit and watch this. Fuck you, dude. Then this is where my goat gets gotten. And the only reason why I'm willing to just shit on people by name, I find out later my buddy paid him $40 to host the show. And that was how he posted it. Fuck you, Scotland. You were paid money to do a fucking job and you can't do your job? You can't even try to do your job? If you bombed on purpose, you fucking suck. If you did it, you should have not accepted that $40 because you didn't fucking earn it, man.
So you think that anyone who goes to Caroline's and gets a
headline...
No. I'm saying Caroline's
on Broadway. Oh, an actual comedy club, yeah.
Like, you get booked for a weekend at Caroline's, New York City, Broadway. Boom. You're the headliner. Joseph Larkin, that weekend.
That's me.
You're ready. You're working. You're ready. Boom. Showtime. Everyone does well. The feature act kills it. The opener kills it. You come on stage and eat shit for 45 minutes. And then they cut you a check for $1,500. You would say, hey, leave that at home. I don't need that.
Actually, check. I have done that.
I don't need that.
Not that much money. But yeah, I put on the first time I ever headlined, I think I did 20 minutes. I have recordings of all this stuff. I got to go back and fight them. Because I think this is probably something that the people need to hear. Me eating shit for 20 minutes. Dude, that set was so bad. The guy who hosted the show wouldn't come back on stage. And I found him hiding underneath the soundboard after the show. But yeah, we made money off of the show, and I didn't take it. I was like, you take all of the money, because I didn't fucking earn it.
He was like, cut him with a blanket, sipping cocoa, going, oh, I've never seen a bombing like that before.
That was a really bad comic. I don't know. I think it's, if you're going to bomb, dude, fucking go for it. That's the way I feel about it.
You know, I've bombed a lot of times when I wasn't trying to do that, you know what I mean? It's like sometimes magic doesn't happen.
That's why I don't bomb on purpose anymore. I would do that kind of shit a lot in the early days just because, whatever.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get used to bombing, probably.
Yeah. You wanted to know what the worst case scenario felt like before you dipped your toe into actual stand-up?
Sure, and then, I don't want to be the Andy Kaufman. I want to be someone who has fucking jokes who, you know...
Yeah.
After you've bombed enough times trying to be like Mr. Artsy dude, you realize this sucks and I need to figure out the way to do this properly.
Yeah. I mean, the only problem I have with some of those people, you know, is just like my problems all stem from communication. It's like, oh, any of these people that super hate me on Facebook, I invite on my podcast and I'm like, tell me why you hate me.
And
then we'll actually talk about what that means, have a conversation, you know what I mean? But people that want to bash me on Facebook and then scream in my face for the 5 seconds I'm trying to talk to them, I mean, I don't know what to do about this whole situation. It's like, we could be friends and do each other's shows.
Why not?
Or you can scream in my face like a fucking maniac. I don't understand. it just seems like they need to be, like, the mob boss. Or they think that, like, Ari Gold, when he's screaming at people in Entourage, like, that's real. And, like, people do that. And that's where you get respect from, like, cursing at people like a Bond villain? What are you talking about? You just are an insane, unbalanced person.
Dude, that shit makes me lose respect for you. You can't control your emotions. Right. It's also just an open mic. Like, fucking relax.
And I just think, like, you know, let's sit down, talk like me and you are doing, you know, and have a fucking conversation and figure out what's going on.
Well, and that is possible, dude. You know, we were talking about Jackie Jenkins Jr. earlier. He and I, like, butted heads many times, but now we're, like, the best of friends because, like, dude, you know what? At some point, he and I smoked weed in his car and just shot the shit. It was like, oh, no, Jackie's awesome. I don't have a fucking problem with this dude. It was all, like, it's all ego, really. Like, Jackie and I are alpha male fucking dudes, and we want to be the fucking top dog. That's what makes Jackie cool, you know what I mean?
Right, he
always wants to excel. And in their beta male way, I guess that they are also trying to be top dog. However, they use teenage girl tactics of blogging and gossip, the fucking rumor mill. We talked about this the other night, but I want to talk about some more. What really bothers me, because I don't know the dude that you have a problem with, and I don't give a fuck about him either way for that reason, but the amount of time that this fucking dude spends on the internet, because he has, like, a fake Facebook account as well as his Reddit account. Scotland was like that, too. You just think, like, have you never heard pussy? Pussy's outside, far away from your fucking computer. Like, what are you doing? Do you not have a job? If I were fortunate enough to be unemployed, I would go fucking paint or fucking sail a fucking sailboat or do something fucking cool with my day. Not sit on the internet building a fucking house of cards that doesn't even mean anything to anyone. I don't know. Do girls look at that shit and think, like, oh, I want to fuck this dude. Look at this dude. He has a fake Facebook account. Woo! And what are they thinking?
Trolling other local comics in the scene, trying to build
themselves. Dude, how do they have so much free time? And here's my thing, because, like, the people that fuck with me in L.A., I always want to say to them, like, you're not that good. You should spend more time working on your act and less time thinking about me. And you will get so much better, because I'm getting better. Because I, like, 2 years or something ago, I mean, I'm talking shit, but I don't give a fuck about these people, whatever. If I saw Scott LeGrand, I actually would walk up to him and shake his hand. That's the kind of guy I am. But, whatever. I mean, dude, we're all soldiers fighting in the same war. I mean, I can't really hate any of these people.
Yeah.
Because they're also struggling through the same shit that I am. And no one else can understand it but us.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And it is, you know. I mean, getting up in front of a room full of people and trying to make them laugh is kind of like you're probably making up for the fact that you never felt heard. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, you never felt fucking heard, but you always had the best thing to say, but everybody else wouldn't fucking shut the fuck up so that you can make 5 minutes of salient points that make sense. Okay, now that I did that, it's almost like that's more comfortable because now it's undeniably your time to talk. You didn't feel heard, now it's your time. Right?
Absolutely.
So we all have this thing where we're trying to get really good at holding people's attention. It's a very crazy skill where, you know, there's risk of bombing all the time. So I totally sympathize with all of these people, you know. And I find it very weird that we all can't be friends. Clearly I'm passionate about this. I'm not stopping. And all this adversity that I've gone through has only more solidified my resolve to do it. Like, I did 2 shows yesterday. Dragon's Den was an open mic for the first time. They've never booked me, but it's like, I'm going to go fucking there. Why? Because it's a Friday show, and sometimes it's an awesome show. I want stage time. I'm going to be friendly with those people.
Go everywhere.
Then I went to Lonnie Wee after that. So I did 2 shows. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, so I'm fucking hustling. I'm not stopping. And so
that's the way Jackie is. He goes everywhere, and that's the way you have to do it. If you want to get better. Like, ultimately, I moved to L.A. because at the time, this scene was not very big. It was, like, 2 open mics. I got banned from one of them. The other one was Lonnie Wee, which is fun, but I couldn't just get up one time a week. That wasn't enough. But once I got to L.A., dude, I go everywhere. I try to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't really go to the alt rooms as much anymore because we just don't see eye to eye, and it just doesn't feel like it would be a beneficial working relationship. I.e., if I make them uncomfortable with being in the room, they don't get out. they don't get anything out of their sets, and I don't get anything out of mine when I go up. So, right, right. You know, whatever.
Well, it is, but, you know, if you start to find what rooms that your stuff works better in, and then you're like, oh, no, this is more my vibe, you know, that's fine. And it's like, hey, you can, you know, get really good at a certain
It's not like I didn't do these alt rooms. I did them all for years. I just don't do them now. I guess when you get older, you get pickier. But that's why I never understood about the Scotland Dan Fauchet crew. Like, they wouldn't go to La Nuit after a certain point. They would only go to the Carrollton Station open mic. And it's like, well, then this is just a fucking hobby. Do you want to get better at this? Mm-hmm. Or do you want to be a fucking legend? That's the other thing. I'm so tired of this. Like, do you want to be a victim or a victor? You know, I want to be a champion, dude. I don't want to be a loser. All these people going on Facebook and boo-hoo-hooing. Like, these people are, that Scotland crew and maybe that dude that you're talking about, they're pissed at Yvonne because they didn't get, like, on the festival or whatever 5 years ago. They didn't win some contest on the festival. And it's like, dude, Scotland, I was there watching. This is before I even did stand-up. And you sucked. That's all. You just had a bad set. That's not her fault. It's a fucking contest. You just lost the contest. It's almost up to chance.
And, you know, this last Hell Yes Fest, a lot of people have come up to me, and they've been in the scene forever, and they're like, yeah, they didn't accept me. So I spent $25 my admission, and they didn't accept
But that's just how it is.
You know, I mean, so then you're, like, inflicting that. It's like, just because you were beaten when you were a kid, now you're the abuser.
Absolutely.
That cycle continues.
It's the bully stuff we're talking about. Yeah. They got bullied, so they become the bully.
Now you have to go through my filter.
But then, I guess there's also this, though, like, to be a good comic, you have to, like, get put through your paces. You have to, what do they call it?
Yeah, you have to earn your stripes. You got to go through the fire.
So, I wouldn't, you know, I get rejected by festivals all the time. I don't have a good video yet. That's all. I bought a camera, or I can borrow a camera, and I'm just going to try to write my material that's getting better, and then film everything.
Yeah.
That's all you can do. And then you can get on the festivals.
So, what's your like, next stage? Like, you want to film all your sets and eventually have, like, a film video album?
No.
What's kind of your, what are you thinking? You were saying, oh, I don't want to be someone who does a hobby person. I want to be a champion. What's your championship fucking...
Well, I'm just down to be a road dog. I have no desire to be famous. I'd rather be infamous if it comes to that. It would be cool to drop one album. I've been thinking about that a lot, like an actual record. But this is more for my own vanity than, like, I think I should be a part of history.
Well, I mean, there's a way to just, like, fucking... sell something, you know.
I want to have merch to bring on the road. Yeah,
I did improv for a long time, and then I was like, I don't have material, you know, like, I've been doing improv for 9 years, and, like, I don't have an album, but if I did stand-up, then I can film myself being funny, and then this is a commodity that can be a DVD that can
definitely
fucking sell, so I can get some fucking money, so I can actually be a professional at this, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, I want to be a professional, but I don't have much desire to be on TV or be in a movie or something like that. I just want to get out on the road, and this is completely achievable. All I need to do is have a fucking 20 or 30 minute video that I can send to, like, some podunk casinos. I can get the ball rolling on my own. I don't even know why I haven't been doing this for 6 fucking years.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't have any material for at least 4.5 of those years. It was just shit. Maybe I should bring back the Get Her Done piece. Maybe that's my new closer.
Yeah, you gotta break the glass. I think that vintage bottle is peaking right now.
Imagine an hour of that, though. If I were, like, some super famous Louis C.K. dude, I would definitely put out some kind of really stinker, shitty thing just to
it's
weed
like,
out the
John
losers.
Lennon's album with Yoko.
100%.
It's like that weird one.
It's like when Black Flag put out a record called The Process of Weeding Out, which is just 4 really long instrumental songs, which they were not known for. It's a pun. This is a record you listen to while you smoke weed, but also we want to weed out the people that don't get it. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. The worst part of success would be, like, performing in front of, like, I don't know, people that shoot abortion doctors and shit, and, like, watching them laugh. Like, not you.
I would probably do really good in that demo if I could get that fucking demo.
That's my what's it called? My target audience, for sure. I can relate to them.
That's a buying public.
No, if you could get those guys into your shit, they will buy everything. They bought the idea that there's an invisible man in the sky.
To shoot people for.
Yeah, they'll definitely buy your record.
Religion, man.
It's really interesting. I guess Planned Parenthood just get shot up the other day?
I think it did, yeah.
And I was looking at someone posted something on the Facebook about the top 10 most evil tweets in response to the Planned Parenthood shooting, which was the equivalent of like, well, on the plus side, some babies got saved, or like, I wonder how many babies got saved. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't even understand the I am so pro-abortion. I'm not just pro-abortion. I think it should be mandatory. Like, just give it out willy-nilly. But these babies don't even have a personality. What the fuck do you even care? How can you care about them? You would rather a full-grown man who has children and, like, is a doctor and has a life and is something to live than a nebulous concept and protoplasmic shape or state? Like, what the I don't even understand what they're talking about.
Right.
That man has a life. That baby doesn't... It's not even a thing yet. Like, what the fuck? How could you even care about it? It doesn't even have a personality. There's nothing to love.
Yeah. It is just weird because it's like, you know, nowadays with our system of money, you know, it's just so hard to, you know, raise a kid properly. It takes so much resources to make a kid, like, not such a fuck-up, you know?
Yeah.
It takes resources and just someone's time to teach it anything, you know what I mean? And that's such a careful process, and it's got to be, like, really respected to get, like, good results out of it, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I don't know. Abortion's a fucking weird, you know?
It is weird. I was thinking, I was in Burlington Coat Factory the other day. I just got to thinking about, like we purposely kill our children. Like, who else does that? Wolves, maybe? Like,
I don't know. Yeah, cubs, if there's not enough food around, they'll just, like, eat their young for the protein.
That's just amazing. I mean, that's proof.
They're like, I don't see a lot of acorns, Jimmy. You're done.
But that's proof that, like, we are animals and savages, and we are okay to kill these children, because that's what happens. That's what
it
is.
It does seem like it. There's not enough fucking of these Federal Reserve piece of paper around, so it's over.
The
formula.
In China, they just made it so you can have more than one baby again. What the fuck? This is the worst time for that.
Yeah.
You're the only ones that had it right.
What do you think about, I became obsessed with this, like, human cloning stuff. I was getting into this conspiracy about human cloning. Do you think that's possible? You know, there was all these, like...
It definitely is. Look at the alternative comedy scene. They all look like, they all look and act like Louis C.K.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's dude, the monotone. Here's my... not even that much expression. Here's my impression of... the cloning, anyway.
Okay, cloning. Yeah, so anyway, there's this guy called Donald Marshall. I don't know. There's a couple, like, whistleblowers on the internet that talk about this base underground New Mexico called Dulce. And allegedly, there's, like, beakers, like, floor-to-ceiling beakers where, like, human clones are, like, just lined up and they're cloning, like, sex slave for the aliens.
I'm getting such a boner.
You know what I mean?
Sex slave for me. Fuck the aliens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, whoa, that's crazy, you know? Can you imagine?
Yes. Yes, I can. That's completely
almost like,
plausible.
Why wouldn't... Okay, so these Nazi scientists were working on all this genetic stuff. Why do you think they were so obsessed with the super race? You think they're obsessed with the super race and they're not thinking about birth? You think they're not thinking about cloning and just like, boom, how about all our ladies are as hot as Heidi Klum? Boom, we could do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why is that guy... Why does Seal have fucking Heidi Klum right now and I got this... mutt, you know?
I don't know why people say Seal's a bad-looking guy. Aside from the egregious skin problem, he actually is super good-looking.
Whatever. All I'm saying is there's that
even
whole,
for a black guy.
What if you could end the commandment of cover thy neighbor's wife if everyone's wife is a fox? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's just and why wouldn't you want to be the hottest person ever?
Well, unfortunately, God also programmed in us that we need to procreate and multiply the species of Christians.
Right.
Well, how are you going to do that when you're just fucking some one woman for a million years?
And what if, like, just, like, apartments are filled with clones, and then they're issued, like, their clone babies that they have to raise and stuff like this, all in apartments, just, this is the one living at 11D, here's your baby. Now 11E, here's your baby.
The clones will be, like, second-class citizens, like, to the extreme. It'll be like, maybe Blade Runner.
Or, like, Brave New World, you know, they would clone people that were super smart scientists, and then they got slightly more resources and lived slightly cushier.
But that's just how the world works in general.
Like, yeah, there's like
no one fucks downward, at least not on purpose.
But that's a problem. Like, that's what I really don't like about the royal family, because it's like they've inbred to keep the money in the same system, to keep their blood as pure as possible, and like they're the most spoiled people possible. And they're the ones who, you know what I mean?
They should be doing open mics.
Yeah, if Queen Elizabeth killed that fucking the Comedy Cellar, I'd have some respect.
This is my impression of
a snooty punk.
Well, I can tell you, when I started, and I only been doing this since 2009, so not like an expert by any means, but when I started, everyone was like doing, what's that guy's name? The heroin guy? Mitch Hedberg. And Zach Galifianakis. It was all everyone just doing endless one-liners, and then the Louis C.K. I hated that. Now I'm like, bring back the Mitch Hedberg clones, because like they at least were writing jokes. They weren't just doing the Louis C.K. thing where they just go up and talk and just be like, "Hey, I'm outraged about something that's completely inconsequential." Everyone's so outraged by everything all the time. It's like, we're living in the fucking greatest time to be alive, man. You can fucking use your telephone to get girls and look at them. It's crazy. It's right in your pocket. Pussy all the time. Not even just... You can have a pocket pussy in your pocket. We're living in... If you can't get pussy, you can...
And if your roommate finds it, just think there's a flashlight.
But that's what I'm saying. Yes!
It's a built-in cover story for the thing that you're fucking in your
fucking house. Exactly. Like, we are living in great times and everyone's so fucking mad all the time. It's just confusing.
Yeah.
What is there to be mad about? You don't need to be going into the Eagles 10 mil show shooting people. What the fuck? Relax. Well, maybe you do need to. I don't know. Those people didn't die of gunshot wounds. They died of embarrassment of being at an Eagles and Death Metal concert.
Whoa. Controversial.
Yeah.
You're banned. You're banned from the Highway Tyrant.
That's all right. So wait, how many people? Okay, so Highway Diaries. I'm assuming I assumed that the name meant that you were talking to people that come here from off the road, or.
Well, it just started. I was on. Me and my sister were driving across the country, so that's how it started. We were like in a different city every day the first couple episodes.
Oh, cool.
So it started as that, and then I lived in LA. I was just getting comics, and then I lived here. I'm just getting comics. It's pretty much what it turned into, but you know. It's,
the original idea I like a lot. Comics, whatever.
I know. I mean, like, ideally, if I get some fucking road work in the future, let's do it. You know, if I'm in Dallas, let's do it. If I'm in wherever, let's do it. You know. So.
Oh, well, I was gonna ask you. So, okay, when were you in LA, and what places did you go to? I know you must have went to the Comedy Store because you have the roast battle thing here.
Yeah. So I did. I lived there from February 2009, and then I moved here August 2014. So that's where I reigned. I lived around the corner from the Liquid Zoo and stuff.
Oh,
so,
hell yeah. I must have seen you a million times. All the time,
you know, like, so I was there Wednesday, and then, man, I did, but it's the type of thing, I don't know, it's all a blur. It goes under sunset. I remember going to the fucking hotel.
Yeah, the Hollywood Hotel. My haunt.
You know.
I love the worst mics. The Liquid Zoo in particular is a fave. I guess that's why I don't go to those other, like, the hipster mics, or sometimes you can actually, like, do well.
Yeah.
In a way. I really like the terrible mics the best. The worst ones, the least attended. Marty's is a favorite. Sometimes.
What was that coffee shop? Bob's Express?
Oh, hell yeah. I used to go to that all the time. Dude, we've run into each other. Without doubt. Sure. Maybe you looked different.
Yeah, I mean, I only recently had the beard situation, so, yeah, you know, whatever.
Bob's Espresso. Bob was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, that's like his whole set. That's what he goes to right off the bat.
He has to. When you go to the bathroom, he had a picture from People Magazine of him from some kind of reunion for that movie.
Climbing back the ladder.
Dude, he's really nice. I wanted to smoke weed with him so bad. Yeah. Just so I could say I smoked weed with, what's his name, DeMarco from the movie?
DeMarco. Yeah, I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen that. But listen, how would you categorize the scene in Los Angeles?
It's fractured.
Friendly to you? Fractured?
What actually, you they were actually really friendly at first. It's so funny. I was friends with everybody. I still think I'm beloved in my own mind, but I don't know. It is pretty fractured. Like, there's, you can like have so many enemies there that you just never see because they don't go to the same open mics. Like, I really like the Valley scene. That's the most of the mics I typically go to, just because, like, you know, it's a shitty free for all and good luck. So I dig that. Yeah, like I said, you could just, if you don't like alternative comics, just don't go to the three open mics that they run. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy. Don't be friends with them on Facebook. Don't go to their open mics. They've disappeared. Mm-hmm. It's not like any of them are famous or doing shit. They're just going to a different open mic. But yeah, there's the Valley scene. There's the Echo Park alt Silver Lake crowd. There's the Comedy Store people. There's the Hollywood scene, which I also love, which is just the dregs. That's where all the real losers go, the Rock Papers and your South Comedy Hole. I mean, it's called a hole right in the name. That's how you know it's gonna be shitty.
The Improv Olympic, they had a pretty good one. The Improv Olympic West had a pretty good open mic.
They have a great open mic. Yeah, they have one on Wednesday, and I believe there's one on, there's two of them now, but yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, I like those too. Actually, the ones that are like open mics that are places that are improv places, like IO West and the UCB, tend to be awesome because improv people will come and do shit, and they're nice and they're supportive and appreciative. That's a completely different thing than stand up.
That's also why I have a different attitude, because
I bet,
you know, I started with the UCB in New York, and they were very, very, very competitive. But they also wanted you to do good, because if your scene partner does good, they make you look good. It's a team. Hey, we're in this together.
Dude,
there's that ultimate thing. And so I always, when I see comics like not acting like improv people, where it's like, look, we'll all be on the same show. If we're all good on the same show, the whole show will look better.
Absolutely.
You know, if you kill, I kill, we all kill, everything's good. So, you know, there's no reason to have these, like, fucking weird jealous feelings or whatever.
And it's just insecurity. Improv people are also better looking. Let's face it. but they are just terrified. They're just scared. I'm sorry I shit on people by name, but I don't really give a fuck. Because I kind of just feel bad for these people. Like, they are just sad. They're sad people that are, I mean, imagine holding grudges over open mics. That's just insane to me. Like, it's an open mic. This is just practice. Are you going to be mad at someone because something bad happened at soccer practice 10 years ago? What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, this is all meaningless.
No, but he slid tackled me.
Yeah.
And then I said that I had the ball. It was my turn to have the ball.
But I just feel bad for these people. Like, they cannot be happy. And I can tell you, like, pre-LSD, I was like those people. And I was bitter and angry and... I mean, at least I was laughing when I was talking shit earlier. Like, before, I would just be, like, ranting angrily. And it sucked.
Yeah.
It sucked to be that way.
I don't... And also, I don't like having people where it's like, I have beef with. I don't like it at all. Mm-hmm. And I want to immediately squash it. See, I'm this type of person where it's like, oh, there's a problem. Like, how can we fix it? What can we work here? So it's like, okay, let's talk. And then if I super don't know what to do, if they're like, fucking, never fucking talk to me again, but then continue to, like... do shit on social media. It's like, you know...
That's the only place they can do it.
It's very weird. It's very weird.
It's,
you know,
fucking weird as shit.
Let's talk. Let's talk. If you have so much to fucking say, all these people have open invitations.
They're cowards, man. They're too cowardly to just talk to your face.
Right.
That's why I don't give a fuck what they say or do, because it's like, if you're not a man enough to come talk to me to my face, then who gives a fuck about you? This is the... We're in the jungle, man. Jungle cats don't, like...
jungle like, cats?
Or whatever. You know, if you want to survive, you don't fucking sit around and look at your fucking... You don't navel gaze your way through life. Like, dude, be a champion. What the fuck are you doing? I just don't understand it. Like, for me, like, I don't want to go to any open mic and make someone else uncomfortable. Like, that's terrible. Mm. That's, like... that's the opposite of why I got into comedy. You know, your comedy is meant to be comforting to other people. It's not supposed to make them uncomfortable or make them feel sad or make them upset. That's another thing. I was kind of ranting about this a little bit earlier, but this style of comedy where it's just like a fucking TED Talk, it's going up there and like pointing fingers at people, it's gotta go. Like, that's not, I mean, it's gonna go. Like, it maybe it's the flavor of the month on Facebook and in LA right now, but in middle America, they don't want to have people wagging their fingers at them. They don't want John Oliver being a beta male pussy telling them they suck because they just, merely because they live in America. I didn't do any of this. I'm not transphobic. I didn't do anything. Why are you fucking trying to make me feel shame?
Yeah.
It's shaming is not comedy. Like, I have to talk, I have to get this off my chest. I know I shouldn't be talking about shit like this, but it really gets my goat. I saw this thing on Facebook. I'm not friends with this person, and I will never be after seeing this fucking shit. Person writes this huge rant on Facebook about how, like, the gist of it was, if you don't book transgendered people on your show, or you book comedians that are making jokes that make light of transgender people, well, we're watching, and we don't forget. Hey, fuck you. Maybe the reason you're not getting booked isn't because you dress like a girl. It's because you're not funny. And you've displayed your lack of humor in this humorless rant where you just shamed people at random. Like, I don't even book a show. Why are you shaming me? I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
Dude, what the... What happened in their childhood where they need to have this power over complete strangers? It's like people that become cops or something. They scare me. They're scary. They're sick. They're sick people. I don't want to walk around with a gun and handcuffs. I'm sorry. Am I a freak? I don't want to be around someone who would do that.
Yeah, so you're just saying, like, stop being a victim. Stop being this. Stop being, like, oh, the ultimate...
Just be funny, dude. That's your only job. And I want you to be funny because I want that message to be decimated to the decimated.
But also, like,
I want that message to go out to the public because I agree with it. But they're not gonna listen if you're fucking calling them assholes and ranting at them. They're gonna go in the complete opposite extreme. Do you understand, people? You're making it worse for everyone.
See, I have some guy in one of my screenwriting classes who calls himself a social justice warrior, and then I overheard him saying, like, oh, you know, yeah, that... Did we get that guy fired?
Yeah.
But also, it's like, when I... This is maybe rude to say, but objectively, like, you know, some... Just, like, not the best writer. And it's just like, okay, well, you can either be on Facebook trying to get people fired or, like, take this class more seriously. Right? So, like, if you're, like, a better screenwriter, you know what I mean? Then that would be good for you. So, like, stop trying to get this person fired that you don't know all the facts of the case.
You don't know anything about.
You're taking your cues from whatever headline that whatever blogger said, whatever, and you don't know how misguided those are, because are you checking all the sources that these people are checking? Are you doing all that research? Are you, like, this guy needs to get fired from Eminem Mars because he said the following statement? I like when my wife cooks food. He's obviously a chauvinist.
Yeah.
No, maybe his wife likes cooking for him and then sucking his dick. Maybe that's how they do it. Are you fucking getting in their business?
Hey, maybe he's just unenlightened.
Right.
And if you came at him respectfully and with kindness, he would be receptive.
Right. And being like, hey, I actually think you're messing up.
Because,
like, this.
I mean, well, part of the reason I got into comedy, except for spite, is like, okay, I don't want to be cornball, but, like, you know, I heard these Bill Hicks records when I was in college, and they made me want to try LSD. And then I tried LSD, and it cured my depression. So, I kind of want to pay it forward. Like, this dude that I've never met, that I will never, ever know, changed the trajectory of my life forever in a positive way. It would be kind of cool to do that for someone else. So, I think that's what they're trying to do. They just didn't do it the way Bill Hicks did. Because if Bill Hicks had gone up and said, hey, if you're not taking LSD, you're a fucking dumb shit, and you suck, and fuck you, I would never have tried it.
Right, right.
Never in a million years. So, I just don't... it's just... I don't know.
Do you think that, like, comedy is very powerful? There's, like, almost a magic energy behind the ideas
totally.
That you can shift.
It's secretly the most valuable art form, I believe. It has the potential to change policy. Mm-hmm. It has the potential to take government leaders down. No one uses it for that potential, but it has it there. It's something that everyone likes. No one dislikes comedy. Like, you might not like Bob Dylan because you don't like folk music, but no one dislikes music. Do you know what I mean? You can still get behind some kind of music. Comedy is even more... Well, I don't know about that. They're both pretty stacked in terms of its universal appeal. But it makes you feel good. And it's designed to make you feel good. So it has that immense power to change lives and change the world. But people just don't know how to wield that power properly. In fact, they use it improperly 9 out of 10 times. And they use it to fuel their fucking... whatever, their hate quest. This is a slew of hate speak. But I will say this, if you want to kill, racism always works any part of the country, no matter what. People can just say that the South is racist. Nah, I've seen it in California, racial shit 100% works every time. And if that's the case, then you guys have a long fucking climb up the mountain with transgenders.
Well, I also,
and whatnot.
You know what? I also don't think that, like, the spirit behind comedy is, like, being right about shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like being completely ignorant and funny, right? It's, you can also mask...
You're a clown,
extreme
dude.
Ignorance with making really good points of view. But I think if you want to, in the setup of the joke, be, like, a strong hero and a leader... and a victim, and then at the end of the joke, you also want to be a strong hero and leader who knows everything, you're not projecting the right aura of really what it is to kill. Because killing,
yeah.
I think that you should be projecting the aura of, this guy is fucking crazy, but he says hilarious things, or this girl is crazy and she is exposing really dark areas of herself, and she's not right all the time. And the goof-ups, but what she points out in the goof-ups of her honesty with herself or himself is what's funny, you know? And so, I just think when your goal is to be right about stuff and to be like, I'm really going to showcase my desire to this point and also be funny and the smartest person while looking cool, whoa. What are you doing?
Dude, yeah, looking cool. Get real. That's why it makes my skin crawl when people call some comics hipsters. There's no hipsters. Hipsters would never do comedy. Clowns do comedy, dude. Losers, nerds, goons. I almost said gooks. Gooks do too, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they do. But
what is gook a racial slur for? Who are gooks?
I don't know. I think that they call the Vietnamese gooks in Vietnam, but I don't know why they... what that means. I feel like we should look into that.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you look into the history of these racial words, sometimes it just makes sense, or it's like, it's almost like a nickname. Like, why is Jap a slur? It's just short for Japanese.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, who cares? Now I'm defending racism. Ooh.
But it's also Jewish American princess.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Way different.
But, I mean, it couldn't be bad to be a princess. I'm a princess. I'm a pretty little princess.
No one's going to tell me you different, Joseph. No one will tell you different.
I think that...
Who's my beautiful princess?
I think that what I like about comedy the best, and I really... Actually, I get a kick out of going to open mics, especially open mics, like, out of town where I don't know anybody.
I love
watching new comics and seeing how they hold the microphone stand or this and that. I'm just fascinated by it.
Right.
But,
if you want any of this...
Oh, I'm good. I have. Okay. I'm so hydrated.
Many
I've never been more hydrated. But they display these really fascinating quirks and examples of insecurities constantly. Everyone does,
right,
on stage, and it's really interesting to watch. It definitely helps me because I just watch them and try not to do certain things I see. But I don't really like, especially nowadays, it really is just a bunch of insecure dweebs. Like, the Andrew Dice Clay, Carlin, they weren't, like, nebbishes, and they weren't, like, going up there and being like, well, I can't get laid. Because, like, why the fuck should I listen? I want to listen to people who get laid. Like,
right.
I'm not listening to Jesus Christ. That dude never got pussy. He doesn't even know what pussy's like. He's going to tell me how to live my life? You've never seen pussy. Like, you're going to tell me how to live? You don't know how to live.
Peter, get your 11 boyfriends and come with me in the desert.
Yeah.
Only wear a gown.
Yeah.
Nothing underneath.
I know Jesus wasn't gay because he wore sandals in public and not at the beach.
It's pretty masculine.
Although, I don't know. I guess Bethlehem or whatever was a beach of sorts.
That was probably most of the fashion back then, too. That's the only thing available.
Well, touche.
Did they really form leather around the feet until the fucking AD switchover?
Dude, they don't even know what color he is. Like, get real. Like, how are they gonna figure out his shoes when they think he's white? But
he was probably more like L. Ron Hubbard when you really think about it.
100%.
You will listen to everything I say. I've got started on my
word. Or Manson perfect. Or Karash. He probably got tons of pussy. Pretending like he doesn't get pussy.
He was just slamming so
all much. These girls are like, I want to take that guy's virginity. I want to be his first and rock his world.
What if I have God's baby? But he'll be a quarter of God's
baby. Ooh, talk about a gold digger.
Gotta ride that parachute.
Yeah. Hey, man. I know that you're like fucking Donald Trump and you're a millionaire, but I get to sit at the right-hand side of God when I die because I fucked Jesus.
Jesus also had a Bill Cosby scandal, but then he just killed all those bitches.
That's what's up. Why didn't Bill Cosby do that? Why didn't he think of that? Whoa. Well, I just want you to drink the iced tea. But maybe you got a Bill Cosby scandal brewing. Why do you want me to drink this iced tea?
No, he turned iced tea into GHB before bitches knew what it was.
And then he turned it into HIV.
He got all the AIDS really came from Jesus.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to say, there's this scene. Okay, so you told me to come meet you in a gravel parking lot.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking there's this scene in Goodfellas where they tell Joe Pesci that he's going to be a made man, and then he goes to the room and he's like, what? And they shoot him in the back of the head so he can't have an open casket funeral. I was so sure that was going to happen. I was going to get out in the gravel parking lot and Scotland Green was going to come back behind me with a fucking bow and arrow or something.
Just shoot you with that. Yeah. It's that paranoia, man.
Definitely. Well,
how long has it been since you had weed? 4 days?
Dude.
Whoa. Ooh, ooh. Starting to lose it.
Yeah, not starting. finishing to lose it.
So that was cool. We got to kick it a little bit. I had to fucking Uber drive as much as possible during this fucking Black Friday, man. But so I had to kick out, but it was fun to do your Prodigal Son show the other day.
Yeah, it was basically what I thought it would be in terms of attendance.
So your family was really
dude, not strong. Even my whole family will come watch me. Only one person showed up.
Okay. The others
I have scrounged. Many siblings.
The others were scrounged from the bar.
They were like pretending that they have children and lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that?
Oh,
like?
Can I talk about this for a second? I'm just like all of the people from my hometown hate me. And I do believe it's because I moved to L.A. and, like, I think they think I'm, like, I turned into, like...
Is your hometown New Orleans?
In the Slidell, Louisiana, okay. Which is, like, next door. Though I did live in New Orleans for some time. So I also have many enemies here. or former friends. But, like, people think
what's
that,
going on? Why are you burning bridges, Joseph?
I can't help it. Because I got this box of matches in my pocket. Mm-hmm. Oh. Gotta burn something.
Alpha male. Cairo.
That's what's up. Dude, I am an alpha male. Isn't that sad compared to these other pussies? I am like a Dog the Bounty Hunter or something. Or Hulk Hogan.
I'm getting that vibe from you.
Like, meanwhile, I'm like 5'2". I like have to look, I look up to Eddie Vedder. He's taller than me. Whatever.
Okay.
It's diminutive. Oh, but yeah, I think all of my, like, hometown friends hate me because I used to post all of my shows I was going to be on and stuff, and they just thought, this Hollywood dickhead. I don't know. I was just curious if you've had an experience similar to that, if this happens to other people where, like, people think that because you moved out and tried to attain a dream that you're a dick.
No, you know, I really think that, you know, I'm from New Jersey, and people there are like, yeah, go get it, go after it.
That's what people in Louisiana.
I don't know. I don't.
I will. You know what? I do believe that most scenes are not very inclusive comedy scenes because they, for the reasons I outlined earlier, people are insecure or jealous or whatever. But the New Orleans scene is heads and tails above the most, like, unpleasant comedy scene. At least that Carrollton Station crew, like, they really just do not want to be your friend. And I just don't really get that. Like, it's such a friendly city otherwise. Like, people wave to you when you walk down the street here. It's, why isn't it like that in comedy?
I don't know. Some people's barriers take a while to crack down. You don't trust people. But, you know, I think it's weird when some people have commented to me about my material. They're like, oh, don't do this. And I'm like, what?
Is it too offensive, or?
Or just whatever, but it's like, no.
You did call God a cocksucker the other day on stage. I wonder
about No, but it's just like, well, whatever. I talk about it a little bit in one of my jokes, but, you know, I got the transphobic label one time pretty hard for making a Caitlyn Jenner joke and stuff like this. But also, people are like, oh, that's chauvinistic or whatever. And it's like, do you really think that this is not an act?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not everything I'm saying is actually how I feel about stuff. Some of it is just saying the most ridiculous shit possible to make people laugh, right? So, like,
I would think that if I see you on stage at a comedy show, you might be joking.
Right.
You might not be serious.
So, it's like, I'm kind of blown away by people who try to be, like, emotionally affected to the point where they're so offended by the material. But I've been to it too because, you know, I was raised Catholic, you know, and I went through confirmation and stuff when I was 16. They're like, you're confirmed.
So you got
forever.
Fingered, is what you're saying.
Basically. But I mean, I was totally down for Jesus, you know, for a while. And then I went with my dad, took me to see Greg Proops at Gotham Comedy Club when I was like, you know, around that time when I was 16. And he started talking shit on God, but I was, you know, like, oh, you really think that there's a man in the sky that... And, like, I really never even heard that perspective before, you know, or I heard it vaguely here and there. But I remember feeling, like, uncomfortable by it, you know? But then, later, it was like, oh, yeah, this is kind of stupid, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's not until all these pedophilia scandals happen that you're like, wait a minute, what the fuck is... I heard... But this is, like, from the Middle Ages, so if, like, a priest is diddling kids, he should get his head chopped off, right? You know what I mean? Or, like, sent to prison, not redistributed to another. So I was like, this is just all a fucking den of pedophiles.
Dude, why didn't Jared from Subway just become a priest? Like, bungled it. they would have protected him. Subway sure
did. They would have given him a contract, and give some kids some hush money.
You know,
why isn't Subway giving some kids some hush money? Honestly.
Kids, these fucking, it was 16 and 17-year-old girls who were paid for sex, i.e. they were already sleep, they were already fucking for money, they're whores, they're literally whores, and
were they?
I'm completely okay with that. He paid him $100, he paid a 16-year-old girl $100 to fuck him. Now, the only problem I have with that is I want to know who that girl was.
Is it anonymous? Oh, you want
to
go?
I want to fuck her for $100, are you kidding me? $100 is a great deal to fuck any girl.
16? Wow, big 16. Words.
But that's what, I mean, first of all, okay, Jared, just wait 2 years, bro. What the fuck? It's like, wait, what an odd, like, what a peculiar fetish. They have to be slightly underage. Like, what the dude? What, get out of here. It's 18. The same. It's the same, dude.
Just hear about my favorite website. There's a website that I'm really into called loveme.com where you get to, you know, look at some Ukrainian brides, you know? The age bracket goes from 18 to whatever, 20-something.
Yeah.
I was looking with this website with Mohammed from Dubai, and he kept asking me if the age would go under 18. I said, that's ridiculous, you know? How dare you? 18's the lowest.
Why is such an arbitrary number, too? Why 18? Why isn't it 16? And by the way, in many states, it is 16. In fact, I think
that's
the state he fucked her in, the legal age might have been 16.
And I think Hawaii is like 15 or something weird like that because they have these weird tribal things or whatever. But I guess
tattoos.
They have tribal tattoos. As long as they have a tramp stamp, they can be 15.
Yeah,
you made that big girl decision to get that tramp stamp.
It's just, all of it's...
You get this old dick.
Dude, all of it's completely arbitrary. We just make up these rules that make no sense at all. Like, 100 years ago, people were fucking at 14 and, like, dying at 30. Not 100 years ago, but, you know, even 100 years ago, maybe 200 years ago, people were fucking younger than 16. Not saying it's okay or cool. That's just how it was. And I don't know if it's okay or cool. Like, standards and shit changes, I guess. Maybe 100 years... From now, it'll be like, you can't fuck until you're 20. I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird where it's kind of like, well, if you're making a 15-year-old girl, like, for security, you know, so she can get taken care of, like, if that's her, like, most base instinct, like, get with a 50-year-old, then it's like, well,
everyone, even the state, is like, she does not want to suck this old dick. You know what I mean? For sure. For sure. She'd rather, like, an 18-year-old, you know, strapping man.
3 years
you
know later, I mean? She's like, give me that dick.
So, like, they're like, the state is like, this financial system, the mind control can only bend so far. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. She obviously, all her instincts, her body's telling her that the young 18-year-old dude, you know what I mean, is, or 15-year-old dude, whatever, is more attractive to her, but, you know, this guy's got this position, I don't know, choices, choices.
Well, I don't know, culturally, an older guy is more attractive to a younger girl, because he has stability, he has security, he's not fuck-up. I mean, I was a total fuck-up, right up until, like, 35, so, like, I get it. If I were a chick, I wouldn't date anyone in my own age.
Are you planning on getting, like, fame or at least stability with comedy at 40, at 45, and then get some real young trophy wife? Is that your plan?
I already askew younger anyway. Not Jared from Subway younger, but, I don't know. Yes. No, I don't want a trophy wife or even a girlfriend. I want a series of trophy fucks.
Whoa.
That I will the world of.
It's like a cruise ship poon? Is that what you're after?
I can do that. I just have to learn how to write any clean jokes. I don't know. Any poon is nice. I mean, I don't have trouble getting poon as is. Whatever. Like, I wouldn't mind more, of course.
What a bold statement.
Yeah. I'm really in love with this website I found called meanstars.com. I'm going to throw out a plug to your listeners for meanstars.com. Because, it's hilarious. Basically, like, these losers will write in stories of how celebrities were mean to them in public. Which basically, what it comes down to is this. You bothered a stranger, and the stranger was like, I don't know you, and I don't owe you shit. And then you fucking are such a loser goon that you had to run to the internet and tattle. Imagine tattling on, like, Robert De Niro because he didn't want to be bothered while he was eating his food. Like, fuck you.
Right. He was so mean to me. All I wanted was for him to do a couple of lines from his classic films.
Yeah.
I moved his daughter out of the way a little bit so I could lean in and say, give me the money.
Show me the money.
That's, I mean, not even his life, but whatever.
Hey, man, you owe me something because I know who you are.
Right.
Okay. But it's really funny, too, because, like all the girls, they have stories that are mean and nice, and all the girls that write in nice stories because, like, obviously, these celebrity dudes are nice to girls. They want to fuck them. But all the mean stories are just these, like, beta male. I'm smashing those beta males, but why would you even want to be like that? I like making eye contact. I like fucking... Whatever. My favorite of this of the stories I read, and there's a lot of good ones, but this guy Michael Phelps, do you remember this dude? He's like a swimmer or something. Mm-hmm. I think he got busted. Was he the dude that was smoking weed?
Yeah, his friend shot him doing a bong rip, right?
Oh, this dude
released
rules.
It. You just totally killed him. He lost all of his Wheaties deals.
Damn it, I'm gonna lose my Wheaties deal because you have a recording of me smoking weed.
That was a water filter I was turning on and off. Lies.
Yeah, over and over again. Yeah, that water filter's making me giggle. You should turn it on again. But anyway, so Michael Phelps and his cronies, I think it was like the other dudes from his team or whatever, swim team, they go to a bar, and I guess they get real drunk, and they're kind of rowdy, and Michael Phelps is ordering drinks in a rude way. He's like saying, like, hey, come here, give me a drink now, or something like that. Not mean, but just like, because he's not mean, he was drunk.
Right.
So he was just being a little too overboisterous. Anyway, the bartender lady says, you have other people ahead of you, you must wait. Okay, shoots him down. So then the next day the guy comes in, buys a beer, apologizes, and leaves a $100 tip. And then at the end of the story, the guy goes, but he's still a dick. Like, what more could this guy do? Does he have to go over it? Well, he gave my friend, the bartender, $100, and he sucked my dick. So I guess now I can write a nice story about him
on
the internet.
Sir, you were there too. You're still at the bar, right? Yes, I am. I was a bystander who was too cowardly to say everything.
Why didn't you say something, pussy? Go on the internet.
Well, I guess if you would suck my cock right now and gargle an apology while the whole time.
But that's why, like, why would anyone want fame? Like I see, like a lot of the people I see on the open mic scene, they don't care about art. They don't care about having good comedy or even being funny. They just want to be famous. They just want to be known. That's baffling to me. I mean, I can understand why you might want money, and pussy is great, but you can get that without being famous or having money.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, do you really just like hate being left alone at the laundromat? Or I mean, I guess you're not going to the laundromat when you're famous, but like, I don't know. I still understand. That I'm a narcissist, don't get me wrong. I do go on stage and beg for your attention and approval, but there are limits, you know?
Yeah, wait your turn.
Hmm?
The prodigal son's got to wait his turn to headline.
I do. I perform for the least amount of people in, this, in this, the lineup. So, but that's okay, I don't care. It was great. Like, I did like 5 jokes. No one got any of them. So then I just started ranting for like 20 minutes about how the Eagles of Death Metal show was an embarrassment. And like, it really bothers me. Like, this band was just a nothing side project, and now they're legends because of fate or just random act of violence. This sucks. Sucks all around.
So there was a killing at the rock show, and all of a sudden it increased tour revenue?
Well, I can tell you this. I saw Eagles of Death Metal CDs at the Slidell Louisiana Mall yesterday, and that's unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how the fuck did someone in Slidell Louisiana find out about Eagles of Death Metal? Someone had to go in there and shoot them up. It's the best career move they ever made.
Being hey,
victims of a terrorist attack.
Hey, man, if we murder suicide, this shit is going to have huge ratings.
Actually, it probably would.
Whoa.
Wouldn't you like to see that?
The Jim Jones recording. Everyone's heard that.
Fuck yeah.
That was even on a fucking cassette before, you know, FBI people found it. It was evidence for 30 years. Then they put it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Huge ratings.
It's a pretty fascinating listen. And some of those people seem downright cheerful to go into oblivion in the most asinine way. You hear people cheering and clapping.
Jesus, give me Kool-Aid.
It was Flavor Aid. Stop. We need to, like, let that myth go so Kool-Aid could be...
Let me say this about Flavor Aid.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Jones, that move was so strong, Kool-Aid stock went up that month.
Wow. And by the way, he bought Flavor Aid because he was too cheap to get Kool-Aid.
Yeah, and then people just said Kool-Aid because that's the one they knew.
Mm-hmm.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
It's like
Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid. Yeah.
People start buying Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I drank the Kool-Aid.
Have your own suicide party at home. Just mix this in the water. Boom.
I mean, why not?
Wear your fucking spacesuit. I was like those Heaven's Gate people that literally put Nikes on and put pajamas on. They all shaved their head. They got in bunk beds. So specific.
Yeah.
With Nikes on, with pumps or whatever. And then they're like, no, just drink this poison. And then the spaceship will just cleanly take your soul to... Do I have to explain everything? The spaceship will come.
Dude, that sounds way more possible than the Muslim religion or the Jewish religion or the fucking Christian religion.
Yeah.
I can completely believe that aliens are making us their little ant farm. Why not? Or maybe God is an alien that just wants to fuck with us.
Anyway,
we're Sims, dude.
Look into this Dulce
shit. We're
Sims
that Sim.
There's an underground laboratory. They're making clones. It's pretty awesome. So,
they're making clones and I'm making bones.
Boom. So what if you, would you buy a cloned, what if they're like, hey, we got this Katy Perry clone, you know what I mean? How do you think she got her record contract, by the way?
For being an awesome singer.
Makes a good wife.
Let me tell you, I went to see the Katy Perry, I had never heard any Katy Perry music, but I went to see a matinee showing at the Dollar Theater of the Katy Perry documentary.
Uh-huh.
I was... the only man in there. It was all children and their mothers. It never felt more uncomfortable. Anyway. But.
What'd you learn about Katy Perry?
I think she's awesome, dude. She seems like a nice lady. I don't know why she would want to marry Russell Brand, but he seemed okay actually, too, in the movie. Whatever. I love Katy Perry.
Womanizer.
Yeah. Well, so, he's got an addictive personality. It's better he's out fucking women than shooting dope.
Yeah.
I guess.
She's got nice breasts. I will say that on record about Katy.
She's got a great pair of lungs for me.
All right. Well, wow, this has been such
an adventure. Katy Perry will find this podcast scary.
So, we got some plugs going on. I want to remind people to get, I got this thing called Theater of the Deranged 2. It's on Blu-ray. You can buy it on Amazon. I'm going to be at the Los Angeles Comedy Store roast battling Eric Wargo.
Oh, sick.
Destroying him.
I watched that podcast where you guys fight on it.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty intense. It's crescended. Into an actual roast battle at the Comedy Store. That'll happen December 29th. Watch me destroy him.
Yeah, I want to see this.
And, yeah, so I'm going to ruin it. Wargo's New Year's. Plugs for Mr. Larkin.
Yeah. tomorrow night I'll be fucking your sister.
How dare you?
Dude, I don't have any plugs. I don't do anything.
All right. Are you sticking out here for a while, or are you going back to L.A. soon?
Well, I'm waiting for my cat to die, and then we'll see what happens after that. But, yeah, that's the sad truth.
You're not sure if you're going back to L.A.?
Oh, no, I'm definitely going back. I have a fucking townhouse to go to. But, yeah, I'll be hanging out here for a week
or so. So you got a one-way ticket, and you're just like, you want
it. I drove, man.
You drove?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a road dog.
Your cat's in, like, palliative care right now, so you're just kind
of... It's in the vet right now, and they're trying to figure out, you know, what.
They're taking its intestines out and plugging it in different places, and it's, like, under deep surgery.
It's kind of like a Mr. Potato Head, but with fur.
They're like, it's alive right now, but we put extra arms on its back just to support.
I think it'd be great if, after we turn the machine off, you, like, add a little part that says, Joseph's cat passed away 6 hours later.
Yeah, it flipped the beamer.
All the bad vibes, I just shot it through this podcast, went into the cat, and killed it.
But did we leave bad vibes, or are we just kind of, like, explaining what our...
Oh, I just wanted to tell a fun story.
I didn't really
mean it. Hey, Scotland, you're all right, buddy.
All right. Well, Scotland, I will invite you.
I hope we can be friends again.
To defend yourself or to give your side.
He could give... he does care. That's the sad part, but I would love to hear that podcast. Mm-hmm. Nah, I wouldn't listen. Whatever. I mean, listen, dude, I've never read War and Peace. I can... Maybe tackle that, and then I'll listen to some dude I don't care about talk about me on a podcast. Although I would probably take it and cut it up and make my own podcast out of it.
Where you re-edit it?
Yeah, it's going to be like an Aphex Twin remix or something like that. You won't even recognize it.
Yeah. You put it through some reverb.
Yeah. I mean, I'll do it Moby style, mix in a bunch of folk singing and shit.
Dude, it'll be such a fucking spank track, you know what I mean? You could really beat your meat to that shit on the rhythm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This has been another episode of Diary in the Bag.
Highway robberies.
I know, right? Thanks to my guest, Joseph Larkin. This has been episode 146. Later. Oops.